Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Tuesday, the 29th of May. It's very nice to have you with us. Hopefully you had a lovely holiday weekend. If you were able to enjoy the holiday, I hope you had a lovely, meaningful holiday.
Just so I can remember it.
It's our, as our president wrote, Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Me Day.
Happy what he Me really Day. Wrote.
Oh, my God. Anyway, good morning. Welcome. sorry, I just couldn't get
moving
over
right
that
along,
one.
Joe.
Good Lord. He had another winner of a tweet a few minutes ago. We'll get to that, too. 13 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we have a great panel. Let me introduce them to you. Libby Post is here, a political consultant and our regular panelist, and we're thrilled to have her here. Good morning.
Good morning, darling.
Very nice to have you here.
Lovely. It's just great. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. Get in everything you got to get in.
I know, because I have to leave early. So there you go. Love you all.
All right. Do what you have to do. Okay. Hey, Helen DeFosses is back. She's visiting, and she was walking out of here on Thursday, and I was saying my goodbyes, and I said, well, when are you leaving? And she said, well, I'm leaving first thing Wednesday morning. And I said, well, that means you can do Tuesday.
That's a very good point.
You've always been good, Joe, marketing and accumulating the assets. Yes, sir.
So here you are, and we're thrilled to have you back. Of course, Helen is former Albany County Common Council President, a longtime commentator on WAMC, as well as a professor. She teaches political politics at George Mason University and presidential politics, I should say. And a lot going on. And we're thrilled to have you here.
Thank you.
Sorry you're going to leave tomorrow, but we're great to have you.
Do you remember who George? We asked you last time. I got a very critical letter.
It was a founder.
I got a very critical letter from somebody who said, you know, you asked Helen DeFosses who George Mason was, and she never answered the question.
I didn't answer.
Who is he? Folks, that was an eyebrow raise.
It was an eyebrow.
Yeah.
It's too long and an exciting a story
That's
to tell
right.
on
and
the
Libby
air.
That's right. And Libby has to leave at 10.
And Libby has to leave. And we're supposed to talk about Korea and
Mike.
Missing.
And Mike wants to get
George
a word
Mason,
in edgewise.
Mike Spain is associate editor of The Times Union. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. And Alan Chartok is here. He is with us. And good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm not as good as I'd like to be.
All right.
Okay.
That's
here
enough.
We go.
That's enough.
I need you to give me more.
Look, we need to make this is deadly serious. We need to make $500,000, $500,000 by the start of the fund drive, and then we get $25,000. That's a lot of money. $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. We have about what $145,000 to go, Joe.
Yes,
something like that.
Correct.
So today, otherwise we're not going to make it. And I mean this, we need to make $45,000. We have to get below that $100,000 mark, and then we'll have literally Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to do it in. Otherwise, we're not going to make it, and the Spitzer money will be at risk. So I want to make sure we get it done. And I, frankly, I'm a little flabudget here.
I'm sorry, what?
Flabudget. A little verklempt, actually, I would say.
That makes it even worse.
A little verklempt.
Okay.
And troubled or irritated.
Well, maybe this will help if to help along here. I mean, you do it because you want to help the station. You do
That's
it because
the only reason.
You need to. We need everybody in. But if you know, greed helps, we'll help you there too.
Uh-huh.
$100, you can get a pair of undated lawn tickets to the magnificent Tanglewood.
There's no Absolutely. Place better in the world.
No place
None.
Better than.
None.
And if you want to visit the other jewel of our region, you can also go for $150. We'll give you undated tickets to both SPAC and Tanglewood.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Wow.
Two tickets?
Yeah, two
tickets?
Undated lawn tickets to both.
Uh-oh. So that you can use all summer?
Yes. By the way, while they last, and
while
they're
they
not going to last forever. The Tanglewood
We
tickets,
only have about 250 tickets.
That's right. They're flying out the window. And how about SPAC? Do you remember how many we have of those? I don't know. But when they're gone, they're gone. There will be no more.
Oh.
So.
Well, Libby, you made a contribution already,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
To the station
Libby, we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it.
Hey, wait a minute now. What about me?
Well, you're not here.
Well, I could come back.
Are you really?
No.
show us anytime.
Show us the money.
Right. Show
All
us
right.
the money.
So,
show the money. That's the biggest challenge.
So lawn tickets to Tanglewood, and if you want to add spec tickets, it's $150, $100 for a pair of tickets to Tanglewood. As Alan said, when these are gone, they're gone. This is something that people look forward to all year long and ask when we're going to give these away. We're giving them
True.
Away now. We're pretty sure that by the time we actually begin the drive, 1 week from yesterday, June 4th, they'll be gone.
They will be gone. And I think, I think people have gotten so used to the way in which we do the fund drives that they wait until the beginning of the fund drive because they know that the Tanglewood tickets will be there. Surprise! Mm-hmm. No, they won't be there.
But in our new Trump world and things are different, we have a very, very quick fund drive now. So we
Is that right?
Oh,
Is that
God,
right?
Yeah.
We've been doing $1 million in a day.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, with
the
lock box.
That's
yeah.
because people understand how important this station is in this crazy
yes.
world we live in.
That's
so
right.
whatever they can do Thank now you. Is something that you, is time that we don't have to take away from raising money on June 4th and beyond. So,
and don't be calling me up and saying afterwards, where are those tickets?
Don't be calling them up.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
would you
sir.
Be able to use these Tanglewood tickets for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me taping?
No.
Absolutely
no.
not.
No.
No special events.
I'm so glad you raised
Oh, no special
that
events.
Okay. No special events. Okay. But, any of the, but any of the
it's
BSO concerts? It is good to clarify. Any of the BSO concerts? Any of the Boston Pops concerts, you can use those.
That's special.
And then for the New York City Ballet and for the orchestra, and there are a couple exceptions there because of the galas and the movie nights. But other than that, for SPAC, you can use
but
those.
Not for Tanglewood.
But for Tanglewood, you can use them for any yeah. BSO or Boston Pops event.
Yeah, I have to say, we went to Roselle and I went to hear Emmanuel Axt, who is a citizen of the Berkshires,
Annie.
At the Mahaley Theater. Last weekend, and I have to say, what a prize this guy is. He's the nicest man you'd ever met. And sitting in the third row on the right-hand side was his friend Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, my goodness.
Stood up to give him a standing ovation. Doesn't get better than that.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. And so you choose your Tanglewood. Oh, I guess I need that back, Alan. I'm sorry.
Of course.
Yeah,
do.
There you go. Yeah. I thought they were the same, but they're different. Okay. 1-800-323-9262. And I was just doing a quick look here, but I believe so on July 20th, Emmanuel Axe is playing at Tanglewood. So you can have the opportunity to do
When you say
Friday
Tanglewood
night.
And you say Emmanuel Axe, I mean, I think, I don't want to get into a fight with people, but I happen to think he's the best pianist in the world. And he was so good. Wow.
Good stuff. It's
Yo-Yo
all happening.
Yo-Yo stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
And you could go see Yo-Yo, too. All of these amazing people are going to be at Tanglewood. All these amazing people are going to be at SPAC. All you have to do is get your undated lawn tickets, but most importantly, help the radio station, help the fund drive. $140,000, and if we don't make it by Monday morning at 6 o'clock, we don't make the $25,000 challenge from the Spitzer Trust. We've never not made one. We don't want to start now. 1-800-323-9262. Yes, sir.
One last thing I'd like to point out, and that is that George Mason was a Virginia planter and politician and a delegate to the U.S. Constitutional Convention in 1787. Uh-huh. There you go.
1787.
But he refused
Want to see
to
a picture
sign,
of him, Helen?
He refused to sign the Constitution.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
On what
he
grounds?
He was one
do
of
know?
Three. Oh, well, I think it probably had something to do with, I'm not sure.
Slavery, maybe?
Slavery. Mm-hmm. But the Constitution didn't outlaw slavery. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, he refused to sign a Constitution.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
He probably liked
I taught you so
much. Well.
There Maybe it was the emoluments some, clause that
right,
bothered
right.
him.
And there were some New Yorkers who were reluctant at the beginning to sign the Constitution.
All right. Well, there's a lot going on, and we really need your help for this week, and we're going to just be plugging away here. So whatever you can do, 1-800-323-9262. Operators are standing by, and they really are.
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262. I got a note. They are. And also, don't forget you can do it online, wamc.org, wamc.org.
Oh, perfect.
1-800-323-9262.
One last thing, Joe, very important.
George Mason.
George Mason. He submitted substantial portions of the Fairfax Resolves of 1774.
Oh, that was one of our favorites, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, we talk about it frequently.
Well, we need all the resolve we can get. Okay. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Please help the Lockbox. Please do what you can do. You know you're going to do it eventually. Why not do it now and help us make this amazing challenge? People always say, oh, I'm waiting for a big challenge. Well, this is a big challenge.
$25,000.
This is the biggest challenge we think we'll have all drive. So this is huge. This is really something that we want to take advantage of. So we don't want to miss out. $25,000 if we make this. We have $140,000 to go. So please help us. Whatever you can do. 1-800-323-9262. Get your Tanglewood tickets. Get your Spac tickets. Tanglewood tickets undated, $100. If you want to add in Spac, $150. And you can get two pairs of both all season long. That's pretty great. 1-800-323-9262. Yes, sir.
But there's only one reason to really give. And that's to make a contribution to keep what you're hearing and you keep hearing every morning going. Without you, we can't make it. It's that simple.
All we ask is you. 1-800-323-9262.
The Ames Brothers.
All right. So let's get started. My thanks for you to do what you need to do and to allow us to scream about this every once in a while because it's very important. But we're going to move on and do some other things and talk about news of the day. So as soon as I find the email that used to say suggested stories, I will.
Well, Joe, you sent us an email that was absolutely scary, suggesting some issues for the day, 1,500 missing migrant children.
There's a really a lot. We were starting
the
with the North
situation.
Starting with North Korea, because when we last were together, the president had said no to the. I believe that news broke when you were last here.
Yes,
Helen,
it was
that,
on the TV monitor.
The president had written a letter and said no. Now U.S. officials are meeting with North Koreans despite uncertainty surrounding the Trump-Kim summit. A team of U.S. officials crossed into North Korea on Sunday for talks to prepare for a summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un as both sides pressed ahead with arrangements despite the question marks hanging over the meeting. My big question mark is the problem that was the problem on Thursday when the letter was written, has that gone away? And what so what do we have to gain now?
I think, if I could say two things. One is, as soon as the Nobel Peace Prize began to float around anywhere around the president, all of a sudden he got really galvanized about that. And he began putting it out as a theme at some of his campaign rallies.
Well, everybody says I should get one.
That's right. Everybody says. So everybody says.
It's out there that I should get it.
Right. Everybody except me. Right. Now, Jimmy Carter did say he thought if he could bring it off, Trump should have a Nobel Prize.
He did?
Oh, yes,
come on.
He did.
Oh,
he did.
Well.
But as far as I'm concerned, with all the other bad things the guy is doing, the global warming.
I think there's no way
the Iran.
The Nobel Commission would ever even entertain giving him.
Oh, you know this Korea thing, right? They've never even settled the war from the 1950s. I think if he could bring anything off. The other thing that's happening with him, he's not dumb. He's not done by a long shot. He's finally figured out that if you follow some process things, like get staffs together and begin to prepare the background for a summit meeting, A, it might actually happen, and B, you might actually really get to sign something.
But even if you send people ahead, then you have to follow through with the plan that they've set forth. And historically, we have not seen that to be his strong suit.
Sometimes he reads from the script. I mean, sometimes. I think when he went to Europe one time, he was reading right from the script. I mean, he can do that, and they can compel him to do that. But I think what he did last week was he lowered the expectation enormously. Now, all of a sudden, something that was in the works, if it actually does happen, it's like twice as big.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. You know? And he'll look twice as magical about the whole thing.
This is a reality TV show playing out, and that's the way he's treating it. It's like watching The Bachelor. Will she say yes?
Right.
Will she say no?
I think he got his keister kicked here.
His
keister
kicked. Donkey, another name for donkey.
Right.
I think he really thought that he could pressure them by pulling out And I don't think that's what's ended up happening. He looks very weak here. Yeah.
He got played.
But you know what? He's a man of such ego that he thought that just by offering to meet with Kim Jong-un, that would be enough. That's such a gesture on his part that he didn't have to give any more. And Kim Jong-un is sitting there saying, hey, what are you going to put on the table if you want to negotiate?
Not only
like this?
Him, but the Chinese.
The Chinese are
eating his lunch.
Right, but they're sort of absent from all of these, everything we read today.
Oh, no.
It's about
South Korea.
I know they're there.
Well,
but
one thing.
They're not in the stories.
But go ahead, Helen. You tell her.
No, I was just going to say that the guy who's coming over from North Korea stopped in China on the way over here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yesterday.
I know
to get his orders.
They're still there. There's no two ways about it. They're the ones calling the shots.
That's right.
But it's just been interesting in these stories that we read. You didn't read about the role the Chinese were playing. You read about the guy who stopped over, the North Korean who's coming over, the fact that we've crossed the 38th parallel and we're now in North Korea with some of our folks talking, and that the two presidents or whatever you call them are talking to one another. It's just it's going to be an interesting couple of days.
Oh. I mean, there's fear that in order to get some kind of agreement, or get Kim Jong-un to say that they're going to denuclearize North Korea, that Trump may be willing to take a lot of troops out of Southeast Asia, and that could be dangerous because you can't put them back.
Right.
I mean, once you withdraw, and then the region becomes insecure. There's not a lot you can do that won't appear to be building up a military might and be very aggressive and provocative.
Let's not forget who this guy Kim is. He's a terrible man.
He's nuts.
He's got his foot on everybody's neck. He's got all of those people living there in the worst, most intolerable political situation in the world. Sooner or later, Trump is going to be called to account for having emboldened him.
But, interestingly enough, he has a group of officials that he himself has to report to, Kim Jong-un. So when he began to sound like he was being too conciliatory, too ready to go to the summit, he had to pull back because they had their foot on his neck. They wanted him to be a little bit, more pressurizing and asking for concessions.
Well, Helen, you said that Trump, I mean, you reminded us that Trump isn't stupid, but how do you assess Kim Jong-un? Is he brilliant in a devastating way?
That whole family. He comes from several generations of Korean dictators, right? They know how to be dictators. They know how to make the system move. Yes, they do. Yeah, it is.
All right, we're going to pause there. It'll give you a minute or two to go and help the Lockbox, WAMC.org. Feel free to call one of our operators, who are standing by, 1-800-323-9262. Tanglewood tickets, undated lawn tickets for Tanglewood, $100. Add a pair of undated lawn tickets to SPAC, and it's $150. You get both of them. WAMC.org. Your mic wasn't on. Only about halfway. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe. Do you know how we're doing on the on the match here? We needed $45,000 before the day is out. How are we coming? Do we know? Maybe Amber would come in with.
No, I have a total right here. Actually, it is. We are at $358,652.
Wow. So that means we have how much to go? 22.
That would be 32.
32.
And how much did we need when we started the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
40.
1-800-323-9262.
Come on, folks. Let's go.
1-800-323-WAMC. We heard music coming in that was Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine. On Your Feet is the story of Gloria and Emilio Estefan is coming to Proctor's tomorrow through Sunday, and you can find out more by going to proctors.org. So we're going to play some good stuff this morning.
Show.
All right. So yes, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262 to help out with the fund drive. Help the Lockbox. Help us get to our total, our goal, which is $500,000, and most importantly, the challenge of $25,000 if we make that by the morning of June 4th, 6 a.m., which was a week ago yesterday. So we have less than a week to make
32.
You know what? Anybody that got a picnic basket for Christmas or a wedding present, to go sit on the lawn at Tanglewood. If you got any Great Gatsby-type clothes in the closet.
I see where you're going with this.
It is spectacular.
For a minute, I thought you were going to go house to house to like collect money.
Right.
And
well,
and open the basket. Well, that's
Little Red Robin Hood.
Maybe that's just my Catholicism showing. But
I thought Helen was going to say you can go sell that basket and send the money.
And give the money to WMC?
Yeah, all kinds of options. 1-800-323-9262, or you can do it online, wamc.org. All right, so is everybody good on North Korea? Anything else anybody wants to say?
Oh, absolutely.
We know where where the country is going.
So the president tweeted this morning after he said, why aren't the 13 angry and heavily conflicted Democrats investigating the totally crooked campaign of totally crooked Hillary? It's a rigged witch hunt. That's why. Ask them if they enjoyed her after-election celebration. The earlier tweet was the 13 angry Democrats plus people who worked 8 years for Obama working on the rigged Russia witch hunt will be meddling with the midterm elections, especially now that Republicans, stay tough, are taking the lead in polls. There was no collusion except by the Democrats. And then the final was, well, not the final, but of that torrent. Sorry, I've got to start focusing my energy on North Korea, nuclear, bad trade deals, VA choice, the economy, rebuilding the military, and so much more, and not on the rigged Russia witch hunt that should be investigating Clinton, Russia, FBI, Justice, Obama, Comey, Lynch, etc.
Man.
What's stopping him from focusing on that?
Stop. On all of that. Well, he is gearing up for the midterm elections, and if his party doesn't carry things, well, first of all, they could lose control of one house or the other.
Or
and
both.
Secondly, he would be in big trouble in terms of a nomination for a second term.
To say nothing of a potential impeachment.
Yeah, right.
So that is what is.
Well, he's getting crazy, of course, and there's a reason for that. And that is that he knows that Mueller is out there and that he's doing his thing. We have no idea about what Mueller has or doesn't.
That's right. And nobody does.
And all the speculation in the world isn't going to match to what actually comes out. And
but I think what he's doing now, though, he's undermining whatever it is Mueller comes out
with. Well, that's what he does.
He is so effective at that. I mean, this whole invention of this conspiracy thing called Spygate. Happened to flip on Fox over the weekend, and they're just going crazy about it. They're talking about this, Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama plot, and these incredible, just insane theories that date back to Obama. And there's a really good analysis, Joe, that you had pointed out to us in the New York Times today about how he uses these conspiracy theories to just generate distrust and undermines things before they even come out. And that's exactly what's going on right now. I mean, you go back, of course, to the birther thing that he started. He raises these questions. He asks these rhetorical questions. They say that they were out there planning this. I've heard this, and then all of a sudden it becomes the narrative.
His reality, and if it's his reality, it's the base's reality, regardless of fact.
I mean, there's all these alternative narratives that are just bogus, but he's so good at creating them, and that's what he's trying to do. He sees this this Mueller thing coming at him. He knows that he's got 18 people indicted. He's got guilty pleas. Other people are going to turn. What if Cohen, his lawyer, turns? He's going to be in deep trouble, and he's preparing everybody for that eventuality with a whole bunch of alternate theories of what's really going on.
What's he going to leave our country with? I mean, I'm afraid people won't have much faith left in their political institutions because he's so good at undermining the credibility of every single one.
Well, it was pretty low to begin with, which allowed this to become eroded even further.
And it could get even lower, and it's scary. I mean, the only area that people really believed in, say, consistently, I think, were the military and the police. Now, he really hasn't tried to undermine the military or the police yet, but he has gone after the intelligence.
Well, the intelligence community,
But the military is left alone, but people value them.
Well, to Mike's point, there was an article, Maggie Haberman had an article in the Times yesterday that said, as a candidate, Donald Trump claimed that the U.S. government had known in advance about the September 11th attacks. He hinted that Antonin Scalia, a Supreme Court justice who died in his sleep 2 years ago, had been murdered. And for years, Mr. Trump pushed the notion that Barack Obama had been born in Kenya rather than Honolulu, making him ineligible for the presidency. None of that was true. Last week, President Trump promoted new unconfirmed accusations to suit his political narrative that a criminal deep state, his words, element within Mr. Obama's government planted a spy deep inside his presidential campaign to help his rival Hillary Clinton win, a scheme he branded Spygate. It was the latest indication that a president who has for decades trafficked in conspiracy theories has brought them from the fringes of political discourse to the Oval Office.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I see that all of this activity is bringing President Obama further out again into the political arena, where he was trying to stay out for a long time. And now he and his wife have declared that they have this consulting production company called Higher Ground. Well, but he doesn't want to be political, he said. So I thought that was terrific. That
Netflix
was
terrific. Series, I
think. Yes.
John Meacham, the presidential historian and biographer, said the effect on the life of the nation of a president inventing conspiracy theories in order to distract attention from legitimate investigations or other things he dislikes is corrosive. The diabolical brilliance of the Trump strategy of disinformation is that many people are simply going to hear the charges and countercharges and decide there must be something to them. Because the president of the United States is saying them.
Well, the only hope is that, you know, just to respond to what you were saying, Helen, about how people are losing faith in everything. If the system does work and there is a credible amount of evidence and the justice happens and the system works and the system is vindicated, people may find faith in that. I hope you're right. I hope so, too.
I don't know if it will,
but
and you know, whenever
ultimately,
you see Mueller on TV, because you never hear him speak, but you always see him marching along in the corridor.
That one piece of tape that they have.
And he looks like a person of such integrity.
He is of integrity. He left Princeton and joined the military, led a platoon through Vietnam.
Came back.
He was awarded the Purple Heart. He came back, and he went into public service. Had a career in public service, and was selected by George W. Bush to head the FBI. President Obama wanted him to continue in that role, and Congress voted like 99-1 to let him do it. I mean, this man is a lifetime public servant.
He's a Republican. He's a Republican. You know?
And he's got that granite jaw, too.
That doesn't
matter. You need that.
No, it doesn't.
He looks like he's honest and impersonal.
I was flipping the dial around on C-SPAN the other night, and Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, was giving a commencement address at Campbell Law School a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how people believe sincerely in things, and that's not enough. It has to be based on facts and based on truth. And I wonder if that was a prelude to what we're going to find out in the Mueller report.
Well, you know, last week you had Rudy Giuliani saying, you know, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, it's a version of the truth, and it's based on what you want to believe in.
Yeah, that gets back
alternative facts.
Right?
Alternative facts, Kellyanne. All the rest of it. But what I found interesting, he got booed at Yankee Stadium this weekend.
Massively booed.
Giuliani?
Yeah, it was his
birthday.
But, of
course, it is tradition to boo the mayor.
But he's not the mayor anymore.
I think that was a very clever appointment or involvement by Trump to bring Giuliani out, because Giuliani is filling the air full of confusing things, too. So it's a real help to Trump.
It's all about diversion and confusion.
Yes, and it's working.
And I saw a story also about a study that's been conducted that, you know, folks who are threatened around their race, that they're no longer going to be in the majority, which is, we know that's Trump's base, are more likely to veer towards authoritarian government because they'll be protected. Their race position will be protected in an authoritarian government.
Interesting.
You know, it's Hitler all over again. It's
scare
Germany,
people and make them want the authority
to
lead them out.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
that's
a
right.
tactic.
Yep. It's Germany in 1932.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-323-9262 to help the lockbox.
How's that doing, Joe?
1-800-323-9262. I will find out in just a second. 1-800-323-9262.
Uh-oh.
And you can also go online, wamc.org. We're almost to 360.
Oh, you are?
Like almost to 360.
Oh, I love it.
$200.
I love it.
Okay. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. We will be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us, Alan Chartok, Mike Spinn, Helen DeFossis, and Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. And please help the lockbox do what you can do, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. And we are, we're almost in the 39,000s, Helen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're sitting on spookus.
Yes. So,
pins and needles.
Boy, I love all the words I'm learning today.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
130. What are you going to do without this? 139. About $140,000 to go to get to the point in the halfway point in the lockbox. $500,000, which also will get us a $25,000 challenge from the Spitzer Trust. So that is very, very important. We need to do this. So what we're offering as a premium is we're offering tickets to Tanglewood, undated lawn tickets to Tanglewood. That's to all of the BSO, Boston's Symphony Orchestra, and Boston Pops. Yes.
So I'm sorry, Joe, but let me get this straight. We need how much now to reach that goal of ours?
$140,000.
We need 140,000.
Correct.
To go.
Correct.
Until you can get the Spitzer.
Not looking good.
Money.
Yeah.
You got to get 140,000.
Yes.
Now, we've been making some progress today, right?
We've been making progress, and we need to make more progress if we're going to do this. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. And every time I refresh my screen here, I hope that the number will go up. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it goes painfully slow, and sometimes you see these giant leaps.
It's so like we've already had like 15, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, we've already had like $15,000 this morning, something like that. Pretty good.
Sure. Yeah.
And people love to add to momentum once momentum is
right.
underway.
Big Mo.
That's
yeah,
right.
Big
Hooray.
Mo. There
yes.
you go.
Go, go,
big
go.
Mo, go, go.
Right. So, yeah, we're $100 away from we're at $359,952. So we're only $48 away. See, but now we're $8 away.
Okay.
So every time I press this button,
it'll
bring me a new total.
Fantastic.
Okay.
But as the money comes in and we make it, I want to sort of wait till we move on here. So we
why
got,
don't you
got
make
the,
until there's a little bit more of a jump. Not $8.
So?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm excited.
But
I get
yeah,
that.
We need excitement.
1-800-323-9262. Don't forget the Tanglewood tickets, the SPAC tickets. $100 for the Tanglewood tickets.
And they're going fast.
If you
I want everybody to know that.
Alan has his phone out. He's looking at the right. latest data, number
yeah.
of tickets left.
Right.
I,
that's exactly what I'm doing. Right. You're so right.
Okay, there we are. We have 30. We're in the 39,000s. 139,000 to go. Okay. All right, 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. That is what we need from you. Okay, let's go to other stories. Alan has letters, actually. We'll go to Alan.
I have a few letters, yeah, and we'd welcome yours. Jamie says, North Korea, bingo. Get used to whatever the position Trump takes. It will change the next minute. In order to maintain a political position, you need to have convictions. The only ones Trump has is what it does for Trump. North Korea agreements may depend more on business concessions to the Trump disorganization by the Chinese than any benefit to humankind. I would point out to you, Jamie, for whatever it's worth, that the man somehow got to be president of the United States. I'm not saying I like the way he did it. I'm not saying that he but I think anybody who discounts his brain power.
Very intelligent.
Is really just wrong. Yeah. I mean, he's not good. He's a bad man, in my opinion. But he's smart enough to have won the presidency and to carry on the way he's doing. Look, if you were confronted by Mueller and you had a sense of what was coming, would you sort of do the Nixonian thing, you know, just go away and say, oh, terrible, woe is me, they're going to make me resign? Or would you, you know, come up with an alternative fact base?
Right.
Well, and he's doing that.
And he doesn't like to lose, ever.
Yeah, and just go back to what you said earlier, Joe, about John Meacham, the presidential historian. Yeah. He used the term the diabolical brilliance of this mm-hmm. Trump strategy. He's not wrong. It's a strategy of disinformation, and he's very, very good at it.
And back to the letters. Keith says all of these lies, panel, I'm disgusted by all these lies by Trump and his administration. But you know what the worst lie is? The lie when Republicans took their oath of office and swore to uphold and protect the Constitution and the U.S. My Congressman John Faso has been shameful in his complacency in dealing with protecting our institutions and democratic norms. I would crawl over broken glass to vote against Faso and Trump. I'm a former Pataki and Chris Gibson, a Republican
voter.
Wow.
I mean, that's quite a metaphor.
And that's from Keith.
Crawl over broken glass. I've got a real picture in my head.
Chris Gibson and John Faso are very different. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And Bob from Albany says, I think Trump's effort to smear the Mueller investigation only looks effective because Mueller had yet to lay out his case. I believe that once Mueller goes public and takes us step by step, person by person, through what happened, all of the Trump bogus claims will fall by the wayside. Not that the deplorables will ever change their minds, but independents are another matter. That's Bob.
But you know, Mueller is like a sphinx, and that's where he gets some of his power from, the fact that he says nothing.
He says nothing, and I think it's unnerving to Trump.
Yeah, oh my God, he must be petrified.
Well, there's another side to this, folks, and that is that the fact that Mueller has not been forthcoming yet has turned a lot of people off. We see it in the polling. That people, you know, that people think it's gone too long and this and that. So the Sphinx-like quality I admire very much, and I think he is a true understanding of what the law is and what the justice process is all about. But I think the longer he holds off, the more likely it is that this goes down.
The problem is that if he comes out now, the Republicans will be able to use impeachment as part of their strategy in the midterms elections to energize their base. And I think that's part of the calculation here.
Wait a minute. Use the threat of impeachment?
Yeah, if Mueller comes out with all of these charges and it looks like he's impeachable, then the Republicans will use, they're trying to impeach the president as part of their political strategy for November. And they will energize their base.
Now, Libby has articulated what we have heard from many Democrats these days about the impeachment. Lay off impeachment. Don't talk about impeachment.
Right.
I myself think we should. I think they are all wrong. I think the fact that this guy is despicable, the way that he's conducted this and threatened everybody in the United States and encroaching fascism that occurs.
But what do you impeach him for? What specifically do you impeach him for?
Obstruction of justice.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah, that's right there. I mean, he fired Comey.
But in politics, timing is everything. You certainly don't want to waste this huge card you could play before the midterm elections.
Well, so you and Libby, in your usually distinctive way, have a sort of lecturing us on, you know.
Oh, lecturing. I knew that time, was going to be a little stiletto.
On timing being everything.
It is everything.
What?
In politics.
Timing is everything.
It is everything.
Well, it is, but that doesn't mean your sense of timing is correct.
Well, there are elections out there, right? I mean, the midterm elections are coming. When would Mueller want to play his card?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think Mueller is playing politics right now.
No, he's not. That's exactly what he's saying.
He's just hanging out there, doing it the right way.
Is he making a mistake by not playing politics and not being astute about when to release this?
I think in Washington right now, where everybody's playing politics and there are stilettos everywhere, the only way Mueller's going to survive is by not playing.
I hope that's true.
You know, being integrity. Mm-hmm. Don't get tarred with that same political brush.
I think you're right.
Oh, what is it they call the Dark Knight of the Swords or the Knight of the
Knights?
Knights
Templar? I don't know.
I don't know what. Yeah. A lot of knives in Washington, believe me.
I see a lot of them. All right. Yeah. A reminder that you can help out with the lockbox before we go over to news. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We need your help, and we need it desperately. 1-800-323-9262. I did get a funny letter here that said something about, if I do this, it'll make... Joe, I plan to make my contribution, no problem. I love the station, but here's my concern. You said that contributions to the lockbox would make Alan happy. Ask yourself this question. Can you handle a happy Alan?
Gosh, what a question.
I'm not happy with that.
No comments.
I think I will never see it.
No comments.
Oh, wow.
keep a lid on it.
So... There you go. We have a happy Alan.
You know, that just stopped me dead in my tracks when he asked that. Do you want a happy Alan? Could you deal with a happy Alan?
Could Alan deal with a happy Alan?
Get his wife on the phone.
Could Roselle deal with it?
Yeah, let's get his wife on the phone.
All right. Well, let's give it a shot, maybe. Okay. We can do it by helping out the Lockbox. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back.
You put 1,000 in, and I'll show you a happy Alan.
There you go. Gloria Estefan, the national tour of On Your Feet coming to Proctor's tomorrow, running through Sunday, proctors.org. Fun to hear that music. You can find out more at proctors.org. Okay, we're going to go to letters real quick and do those, but we've been making very nice money here. So we're,
How much? Well, momentum.
Since last we spoke, about $3,000. So we're now in like $36,000 to go. To get
well,
to
we
the
100... 36,000 by the end of this.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
let's get going. Not many minutes left.
1-800-323-9262. $100 gets you undated tickets to Tanglewood. At $50, you can also get undated tickets to SPAC as well. $150 to get you both. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. But the important thing is whatever you can do, $5, $20, $50, whatever you can do, puts it in, it gets us closer to the goal, $500,000 by June 4th at 6 a.m., and we will get $25,000 from the Spitzer Trust.
And let's all remember what this is all about. Just, it's your station. You made it. You made it what it is today, and without you, we can't continue. And Jay says, resist. Good morning, panel. By continuing to antagonize the Mueller probe, the press, and our Justice Department, Trump brutalizes all good people in his country with a conscience. In this country with a conscience. His Twitter habits indicate he's trying to wear us down to confuse the truth. Are we getting so tired of this insanity that we'll just give up and look the other way if he fires Mueller? Hitler-esque? Yes. Oh, my God. How can this be happening here? And that's from Jay. Well, I think Jay speaks for an awful lot of people.
How can this be happening here? That's the question.
Can you please try to remember that insidious comment that he made on the radio that is about grabbing women you know where and all of the rest of that stuff. Meantime, you know, everybody else is under the gun for what they did, but he is immune. All right, Chris says, impeachment. Does anyone on the panel think the GOP won't use fears of impeachment to fire up their base regardless of what the Democrats do?
Of course they will. I think we acknowledge that. The question is whether that will be a strong case or a weak case, and it's how the evidence that is presented by the special counsel Mueller is presented. And you can imagine there'll be people, and there'll be alternate narratives, and there'll be all different explanations for it. It's going to be somewhat chaotic.
One of the most important, well, there are a couple of factoids about these 2018 elections that I find very interesting. One is the pollsters all look for how worked up the people in each party are. And so far, the Democrats are way ahead in that. They're really angry and they're really ready to move. And you see that with all of these congressional resignations by people who see the handwriting on the wall for one of two reasons. Number one, they don't want to be in the minority and get treated the way they've been treating the Democrats
during that too.
And number two, they think they're going to lose. So, and I think they are too. In any case, Oliver says Nobel. Former President Carter's statement raising the possibility of President Trump getting Nobel Peace Prize for a nuclear disarming North Korea may be a cunning manipulation of Trump, who seems prone to such ego stroking. If so, perhaps it is Carter who is deserving of a Nobel.
Oh, he got another one.
For derailing an escalation that could have ended in war, that could have the possibility of going nuclear. We Americans, other than Trump, should keep in mind that Carter's comment is perversely America-centric. Shouldn't the leader of the nation that gives up their nukes be the one more deserving of a peace prize? And that's from
Kim
Oliver.
Kim Jong-un getting a peace prize? Well, he wouldn't probably go to Sweden to receive it, you know. Travel far.
Either did Dylan.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for literature. Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah. Eric says, Trump tweets, hello, panel. I heard on the NPR, I like that. that Trump himself is not the only one who tweets from his account. He has a staff member, perhaps a team, who organizes and tweets the propaganda. Scary. Love you all. Eric from Eric. Okay.
All right. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We love to hear your letters. We love to read your letters, and we welcome you to write them. Panel at WAMC.org. And, you know, while you're doing that, you could also make a pledge.
Oh, that's nice. See, parenthetically.
Well, just think if you've had a letter read on the radio station, you know,
your stock could rise.
Everybody,
in the whole
everybody who wrote a letter, gave $100. We would have our goal right now. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Let us talk for a moment about missing immigrant children. This is a wild story. Did the Trump administration separate immigrant children from parents and lose them? This from the New York Times. President Trump over the weekend falsely blamed Democrats for a horrible law separating immigrant children from their parents. In fact, his own administration had just announced this policy earlier this month. His comments followed days of growing alarm that federal authorities have lost track of more than 1,000 immigrant children, mostly from Central America, giving rise to the hashtags like "Where are the children?" and claims that children are being ripped from their parents' arms at the border and then being lost. But the president is not the only one spreading wrong information. Across social media, there have been confusing reports of what happened to these immigrant children. So here are some of the answers. Did the Trump administration separate nearly 1,500 immigrant children from their parents at the border and then lose track of them? No. The government did realize last year that it lost track of 1,475 migrant children it had placed with sponsors in the U.S., according to testimony before a Senate subcommittee last month. But those children had arrived alone at the southwest border without their parents. Most of them are from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and were fleeing drug cartels, gang violence, and domestic abuse, according to the government data. Meanwhile, what is the Trump administration's policy on separating migrant children? This is where people are likely getting the idea that the Trump administration has separated children from their parents and then lost them. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced a new zero-tolerance policy earlier this month that included imposing criminal penalties meant to deter Central American families from trying to cross the border illegally. If a mother or father is with a child when apprehended for the crime of illegal entry, the minor must be taken from the parents.
Yeah, they're using that as a way of convincing people not to try to sneak into the U.S. illegally. Because if you do, one of the greatest terrors of every parent's mind might come true, will take your kid away from you. But I thought you had the Obama official on, Joe, before the roundtable started, Ms. Munoz, who was talking about how oftentimes those children are placed with
sponsors, yeah.
And sometimes they don't want to be contacted
because their status is in question.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like a year ago when they were coming in from Honduras and El Salvador by the hundreds every day. They were trying to escape, the civil strife down there, the crime and et cetera.
And gang activity.
And they were being placed by ICE with local families and families that would step forward that would take them. They weren't putting them in detention, these children. And a lot of them have sort of assimilated back into society and have not gotten back in touch with authorities. So it kind of protects the children, hopefully. I mean, but they don't know where they are, if those children were abused or if the host families were not doing a good job. There's really no accountability here. It's kind of a sad situation. It could be bad for some of those children. We don't know.
But there's this huge way of disappearing, you know, if you're an illegal immigrant in this country. And you find the right connections, you could just disappear. Like these children, maybe they're doing fine. We don't know.
My suspicion is that they are with families, as you said, who are sponsor families who step forward and they've just
gone off the grid.
Yeah, they're going off the grid, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1-800-323-9262 is how you can help us out. Also, WAMC.org.
Joe, we got an interesting letter here, and I think we've all been captured by it. From Christine, who says, Good morning, panel, and welcome back, Helen. I hope the list of topics for today includes a brief description of this young man and Macron's response to this courageous, undocumented
wonderful.
Young man. We need more stories like this. And the story, of course, is that he's walking by, he sees the kid dangling from the side, and in the most inspirational way you could see, he climbs up the side of the building
it
and rescues
incredible.
The kid.
I couldn't believe
to
it.
Which Macron does the right thing and says, okay, you're a citizen.
It was a fantastic story. I can't even imagine the guy taking that challenge. I mean, just came to him. He said, I just looked up and I knew I had to help rescue that child. And he starts walking up the side of the building. I mean, how many people would think that and act on it? And then it worked. And now Macron says, okay, you're a citizen.
And by the way, our firemen do that. And if you want to be a fireman, you can also. I mean, that's incredible.
Well, that's true, but this guy had no gear. I don't even know how he did it. They call him Spider-Man now.
Well, no, it's all on. You can see the whole thing.
I know,
thing.
They're running
it
over and over. It's
video,
inspiring.
The video has gone viral, as they say.
It's gone viral.
It's wonderful. It's
it is
wonderful.
Quite an amazing
I thought Macron's
story.
Response, though, is so instructive compared to what we got here.
Oh,
well, basically, it affirms that the people coming into the country from other countries are not all terrorists. It recognizes that they're that we are enriched by the people who come from elsewhere, and this is just a stunning example of that.
You know, a little earlier during the discussion, I was involved in my own head in something. You know, somebody made the point that, you don't want them, that the theory here is if you separate from them, from their kids, they won't come.
That's the Trump administration's hope, is you scare them by threatening to take their kids away.
But frankly, I don't think it has a lot to do with any more than, once again, Trump playing to his base, you know, and saying, we're going to take these kids away, and we're going to be as draconian as we possibly can. And he gets cheered on for doing this.
Could be, but, you know, he feels up against it, right? One of the things he campaigned on was stopping illegal immigration into the United States.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened. So I think he's just playing one terrible card after another.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's artful at being able to spin things. And when the question came up about the how they weren't accountable, ICE wasn't accountable for these nearly 1,500 children. He immediately, knee-jerk reaction, blames it on laws by the Democrats. Now, you know, it's not based on fact. It doesn't need to be. But
Mike, it doesn't much matter.
It does not much matter.
That's the thing. He has so many of his pledges during the campaign, you know, have been completely reversed, and nobody holds him to account. The Washington Post does, the New York Times does, I do. But in the end, he doesn't care.
I've been trying to figure out, is this a sensible strategy on Trump's part to keep playing to his base? Isn't it time for him to start worrying about enlarging the base?
No.
No? I mean, the midterm elections are coming?
His problem is that he won using that base. That's the basis of his success.
Yeah.
And he thinks if he can hold on to that group, plus some of the others that he already has, some of the independents, he'll win again. He may be right.
But the demography of the country has changed, where, you know, we have thousands and tens of thousands more people. I mean, and doesn't he have to expand his base?
I think I read in the paper this morning that today is the last day, or tomorrow is the last day you can register. In your paper, Mike, the Times Union, I think today's the last day you can register to vote if you have never voted before. I'd like to know how that's going.
Well, during the election in 2016, there were a lot of people on the fence, a lot of independents who didn't like the Democratic candidate, didn't really like Trump, but they did an act of faith thinking that maybe he would shake things up. I think those people who weren't really sure about Trump have not become sure about Trump. His base that really supported him enthusiastically is still there. But the rest, I think, have probably soured about the way things have turned out, and they're looking for the Democrats to come up with somebody. I don't see that person coming up.
And by the way, your evidence for that is?
Well, that the evidence for that the independents, they weren't as strongly committed to Trump as the Republican base. And if they weren't as strongly committed, I'm not sure that they're strongly committed now.
But everybody's got to get out and vote. No matter, they can't be just committed in their hearts.
Exactly. And a lot of people didn't vote, period, the last time.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they were disheartened.
Meanwhile,
Yes.
A lot of people voted in Ireland over the weekend.
Oh, wasn't that incredible?
Ireland voted decisively to repeal one of the world's more restrictive abortion bans, sweeping aside generations of conservative patriarchy and dealing the latest in a series of stinging rebukes to the Roman Catholic Church. The surprising landslide, because the last we heard even on Thursday or Friday was that it was,
close.
It was very, very,
very
close.
Very close.
Oh, no.
But it was a landslide. It reflected in the results announced on Saturday, cemented the nation's liberal shift at a time when right-wing populism is on the rise in Europe, and the Trump administration is imposing curbs on abortion rights in the United States. In the past 3 years alone, Ireland has installed a gay man as prime minister and voted in another referendum to allow same-sex marriage. But this was particularly a wrenching issue for Irish voters, even for supporters of the measure, and it was not clear until the end that the momentum towards socially liberal policies would be powerful enough to sweep away deeply ingrained opposition to abortion.
Well, they didn't even allow abortion in cases of incest or rape.
I mean, right, it wouldn't be the life of the mother. Yeah. It would have to threaten the life of the mother. They passed a constitutional amendment. They voted in favor of a constitutional amendment banning just about every kind of abortion. Back in 1983, the Catholic Church was much more powerful then. Since then, the Church certainly has suffered from the priest abuse scandal, which was particularly problematic in Ireland. And then there's, you know, just the changing society, the more liberalization of the and social liberalization of the Irish society. It's much more worldly. It's part of the European Union. And this time I was just in Ireland a couple of weeks ago, and there were just all across Ireland, from Dublin across all the way to Galway, there were every city you went into, there were posters on all the streets, you know, street poles, both in favor and against this vote. And using the typical narrative that you see in the U.S. about, you know, the right to life narrative and about the right of women to protect their own bodies and to make decisions. And evidently, when they went to the polls, the social liberalism played out. It's a changing country. It's a very, very rapidly changing country.
And what's interesting now is the new wrinkle this morning in all the news accounts is Northern Ireland. Because
that is fascinating.
Because while many of the Irish women would get on who were needing an abortion would get on a plane and go to Great Britain, it turns out that Northern Ireland is completely different and has been as restrictive or more restrictive than the Irish Republic. And so now Theresa May has to make a decision as to whether or not she's going to sort of, as in checkers, do a double jump create, do it right and say, okay, Northern Ireland, you'll have the right, the same rights to abortion.
So why would she?
Well, I think she reads the tea leaves, right?
Well,
she reads the tea leaves that the Irish are a different group of people than she had thought. And it's the time to follow their lead.
I don't know if the British have been too good at that, reading the tea leaves where Ireland's concerned.
And, you know, Northern Ireland voted very heavily against Brexit. You know, they did not want the UK to leave the European Union. And right now people are wondering if after Brexit happens, if Northern Ireland might pull what Scotland pulled and try to declare its own independence. They're not in aligned with what's going on across the sea in the UK.
So what do you think this means to May's efforts on abortion?
Well, it's a difficult issue because she stands to, if she tries to force more liberal position, more liberal policies in Northern Ireland, it could inflame the Northern Irish against London. And if she stands back, it'll just, you know, the turmoil there itself will cause divisions.
So about 10 seconds. Go ahead.
You think that that the position on abortion is different in Northern Ireland than it was in the Republic?
The polls are showing that it was. Yeah, that they're much more conservative about it. They're less liberal in Northern Ireland.
That's going to be the next big frontier is European politics. I mean, that whole arena is falling apart as we've known it up until now.
We have to end there, but thank you all very much. Helen, good to see you as always.
Glad to be here.
Be soon. Thank you very much.